is Sharon Needles. I tried calling you on the Ouija board, but all I got was your career. Because it's dead, get it? Or so the drag queens like to say. We're not sure where the rumors of Sharon Needles' career dying are coming from, but it might have something to do with RuPaul's Drag Race giving us a new batch of drag queens every year to love and hate. Plus, those girls all want what Sharon's got.
But so far, nobody's been able to touch Sharon's rock star quality and match the passion of her diehard fans. Sharon recently tore Texas apart with her sold-out shows at South by Southwest Music Festival featuring a Lou Reed tribute, and she got to hang out with Deborah Harry and CeeLo Green.
It's hard to kill a good witch. Join us as Sharon Needles reads all the Season 6 queens and all the hot news.
Fred Phelps Sr., the founder of the Westboro God Hates Fags Baptist Church, is near death and may have been excommunicated from his own hate group.
Courtney Love thinks she might have found the missing Malaysia Airlines plane.
And a new study reveals sugars found in tequila may protect against diabetes and obesity.
I'm Fausto Vernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Thank you. Upgrade your account today at feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our fabulous podcast 5 days a week.
Hello, boys.
Hi, is this Sharon Needles?
Sure is.
I tried calling you on the Ouija board, but all I got was your career, as in dead.
Very clever. This is some new material.
I just, you know, you can't kill a good joke, and you can't kill a good witch.
No, you can't keep a good witch down underwater for long.
But Sharon, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Well, I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas.
Only bad witches are ugly.
So, Sharon, what are you doing riding around Deborah Harry's limousine in Austin, Texas?
Well, we're old school chums, you know?
Did you guys come off the floor of the of the bars in New York?
That's right. Yeah, I met her in 1979 in Max's Kansas City. Where she was bartending. No, I ran into her band in a lobby of a hotel, and they asked me if I wanted to go to their show with them the next day. So it was really surreal. So I'm you know, backstage with Deborah Harry, and then CeeLo Green just walks in.
And he said, fuck you.
I was shocked that he knew who I was.
He did.
He was just like, hey, Sharon, hey, girl, what's up? And I was like, oh.
That big old queen, did you see his tribute to Liberace? Come on. He's got his pulse on the figure of the gay community.
Well, exactly. And I feel so bad for him because he's been run through the courts lately on that sexual assault charge on a woman. And I said, you know, Cino, if you just said you were a big queen, this would all blow away a lot faster.
What was his response to that?
I don't really know. I don't know. But when I saw him, I was just like, ooh, from one costumed entertainer to another. But he had beautiful teeth. He had beautiful veneers with diamonds in them. So
oh,
he had
wow.
a really sparkly smile.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just got back from South by Southwest, and it was really challenging, but it was really fun. It was really great to showcase my music to a whole new audience, a lot more punker audience.
So, because now you're actually doing what we've wanted you to do all along, which is pursue a music career. You have a band. You're performing in music venues. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it was great, and I even made like top 10 bands to look out for at South by Southwest out of like 2,500 bands. So they must have had some really bad acts this year if I made top 10.
Well, it is the garage band capital of the world.
Right. I had a lot of fun doing it, but I think my most challenging and like scariest thing was doing the Lou Reed tribute, because I was working with such like heavy hitters, like the drummer from Blondie and MC5's like guitar player, and like just crazy old school like rock legends. And I sang Candy Says by Lou Reed, and it was great. Hey, check out the video on YouTube. I wasn't that disappointed in myself.
Wow, that must have been awesome to do that Lou Reed tribute. Can you tell us more about the song Candy Says? Because I'm sure there's a good story behind it.
It's not one of his most famous songs. It was done with Velvet Underground. And it's a kind of a song about what was going on through Candy Darling's head, the legendary Andy Warhol superstar and Tennessee William muse.
When you guys all sang Take a Walk on the Wild Side, did the whole gang get up on stage and sing together?
No, I was at the alley smoking cigarettes. But my manager, bless his heart, he's a great manager, but he's just a little out of the loop of rock and roll. He just says, why does everyone here keep saying Take a Walk on the Wild Side? And I said, shh. Let everyone hear you say that here.
Are we talking about David?
Yeah, poor David. We're not supposed to talk to him. He doesn't even like being photographed.
Oh, really? He's been on the podcast before talking about all the terrible stars that have come through Milwaukee Pride Fest. So,
well, now he's a drag queen entertainment mogul, tycoon. He's managing.
Slave master. Slave driver.
Whoremonger.
Well, I think he feels like he's under a lot of scrutiny because he's basically managing all drag queens' careers. If you're a drag queen and you have a career, David's chances are is David's manager.
Because the other managers don't return our phone calls.
Latrice Royale has her own booking company, and so does Shangela.
Well, it's easy for Shangela to manage her own gigs because she only gets a couple of them each year.
Hey, no, Shangela's still, well, you know, Shangela has got a well-deserved break because she broke her leg on Halloween when we were performing together. She did a death drop, and the bone went right through the skin, and it was a great Halloween show. She really showed me up.
Oh, my God. The bone went through the skin?
Well, I didn't see it, and you know how, you know, the game of telephone works in the gay world. But, yes, they said the bone went through the skin, and she's still going through physical therapy, spent a lot of time in the hospital. But she had such a good spirit about it the whole time. I saw her being taken out of the club on a stretcher, and she was just saying, hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Well, black may not crack, but bones sure do, huh?
I'm going to distance myself from that joke.
Now, you've had a pretty good response. You've had a pretty good response to PG-13. You're already working on the second album.
Right.
And Taxidermy. You're on the name of that second album is Taxidermy.
Taxidermy. And it's a working title as we speak. And I've been very inspired by taxidermy, about beauty being frozen in time.
Well, you're dating a taxidermist right now.
he's more known for his legendary wax sculptures. He does celebrity wax sculptures.
Tell
called.
The audience who you're who is this
how
guy
you
met
that
your you boyfriend.
Who is what's his name?
His name's Chad.
He's famous for being a wax sculptor for Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
He makes wax sculptures for private collectors, for museums.
Now, he made a wax sculpture of anybody I know personally?
He made a wax sculpture of me, and way before I ever met him. But I was very familiar with my wax sculpture. You never feel like a true star until you have either a bagged Halloween costume or a wax sculpture. I have both.
And so this guy made a wax sculpture of you, and then how'd you meet him? Because he took measurements.
I met him in Salem, Massachusetts, on Halloween Day.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, I commissioned him to do some special effects makeup for me to make me look like the Grand High Witch from the Roald Dahl movie, The Witches, played by Angelica Houston.
Yes.
And I really wanted to have this grand appearance, so I commissioned him, and he came and did my makeup prosthetics and on Halloween Day in the town of Witches, and then the rest was her story. I like to think of him as spending 4 months making a wax sculpture, and then it came to life.
Did you ever see the movie House of Wax with Vincent Price?
Of course.
You know the premise of that, right? He wanted to make the perfect wax sculpture, and so he had made one of the woman he idolized, and then he wooed her into his life and threw her into a hot vat of wax, killing her, but preserving her forever in time as the perfect sculpture. I'm worried that Chad might be trying to do this to you, Charon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chad looks awfully a lot alike Vincent Price. It's funny you say that. And Vincent Price is his, like, idol, one of his biggest idols.
Do you know that Egyptians used alcohol and cocaine as embalming tools?
So be careful when he brings you that kind of stuff.
Well, hell, if that's how they're partying, if that the Egyptians are doing, let's go to Egypt.
My friend was babysitting for some people in Washington, D.C., and when the family came home, they had Vincent Price with them. And she goes, he's as creepy as you'd expect him to be. His daughter's a lesbian, and he was bisexual, she says.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She wrote a book.
Wow.
Daddy Sucks Cocks.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens.
Well, was he bisexual? Because I heard rumors that he was completely gay.
Well, he did have a kid.
Don't you know any gay guys that have gotten a woman pregnant? I do.
Maybe one or two.
Yeah. I know a couple.
Tyra Sanchez.
Yeah, there you go. And Nicole Page Brooks has a son, too.
So you're in Texas, you're performing all this stuff. A lot of people know who you are, but I'm worried that they might have confused you for a rodeo clown and thrown you in with bulls.
Well, I think the rodeo just gotten over.
You said in a recent interview that you had fantasies of becoming a rodeo clown. For real?
I mean, it's pretty much, I am a rodeo clown, you know. I stand in the spotlight and dodge people's bullshit all the time.
Honey, you're doing pretty good, though. I mean, if you're performing with Deborah Harry and CeeLo Green.
I wasn't performing. I was just a groupie.
Tell us about the band that you're with, though. It's like this huge house band. You have a tuba player, a string section.
No. It's pretty much a straight-up rock and roll punk band. I have a drummer, keyboard, bassist, guitarist. Me. Nice. What's funny is when I first started rehearsing with them, they're all like pretty manly dudes, pretty like manly rock and roll dudes. Yeah. But I started calling them girl, and now they call each other girls without even thinking about it. You know, they call each other she and girl, and it's really cute. So I call them my girls.
It's that slippery slope of gender. Mm-hmm. You just put on that little panties, and the next thing you know, you're dressing and living as a woman.
Now,
right.
Last time,
it always starts with the panties with straight guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And yeah, then powerful men. You know, powerful men who need to feel a little bit sissied because they're in such a high place of power, like to wear silky panties underneath their suits. Didn't like who's the president that used to do that?
A Hoover.
Oh, it was Hoover.
J.
Yeah,
Edgar Hoover, like, from the head of the FBI.
Right. Well, back then panties weren't very sexy, so he was just like in like big girdles and bullet bras.
Did you see the video of the Colombian president talking in front of you, giving this speech, and then all of a sudden you just see like pee-pee coming out and his pants just get wetter and wetter until you see this big pee stain on the front of his pants?
Lady Gaga really showed me up at South by Southwest. She had a European performance artist vomit paint on her.
You know, I actually spoke to her assistant, wardrobe assistant here in Chicago, Lisa. Mm-hmm. And she told me that the press got only the first half of that thing.
Because she vomited a lot on her.
She vomited a ton, and it was not just blue, but it was like, it was green. It was first green, then blue, and then pink.
And she wore a white dress, so she was like, as though she was doing like an impressionistic painting.
It was an Easter thing. You know, it was pastel colors. The fluid she was vomiting was soy milk.
Oh, it was tinted soy milk. That makes sense. See, if I was going to do it, I would want to vomit up like oil paint.
I want you to die.
Talking to my bulimic friends, ice cream is really the easiest thing to throw up.
Well, soy milk would be easier.
Yeah.
You want some solidity.
I was just eating frozen yogurt. I usually don't eat desserts, but my divine impersonating friend, Curiosity Killed the Cat, came over and got me stoned early today.
Tell us how your band got put together, because this is like a lifelong dream of you being a rock star.
Yeah, well, you know, one of several bucket list items, but
besides dying in the hands of an embalmer.
Yes. Well, they were all hand chosen through like my music management, and mm-hmm. They're pretty much like they're people that work for other bands. Like my guitarist does stuff for 311, and my bassist has his own band. So they just all got together, but they have so much fun working with me that they stick around.
Although I could imagine your band kind of is like Ashley Simpson's backup band when they were playing on Saturday Night Live with her. I can't believe you forgot the lyrics again to your song, the alphabet song. A, B, C, D, E, F.
Actually, this club is a haunted house I usually torture.
You were asking me the other day, like, you were really forgetting the lyrics to the Alphabet song.
There are times where I do flub the Alphabet and call me on the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. Oopsie.
How is that possible that you would forget the Alphabet?
These are songs you wrote, too.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't write the Alphabet.
It's probably because I'm drunk.
Is it you get to M, and then when the N word comes up, is that when you have trouble?
Yeah. The letter. Today's episode has been brought to you by the letter N.
I get halfway through the alphabet, then I don't know.
even though I always thought a good drag name would be Emma Nenope. Because that's how children kind of, you know, they've kind of
M-O-N-O-P.
Clumped that.
M-O-N-O-P. That's really cute.
Yeah, my name is Emma. M-O-N-O-P.
I'm still holding out for your guest appearance on Sesame Street.
It's never going to happen, but, you know, when we were writing Call Me on the Ouija board, we were all making jokes about how this was going to be the song that got me on Sesame Street. But I think RuPaul would be great on Sesame Street.
I think, you know, listen, it can't get any more awkward than Katy Perry and Elmo.
Well, and she did that Lady Gaga Muppet Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah, it is a possibility.
Did you happen to see that? Because I don't think we've talked about that with you.
Oh, of course I saw it. Anything Mama Ru does.
She missed her cue. We asked Michelle Visage about that, and Michelle acted as though that never happened. I was like, here's the video right now. She missed her cue.
Well, it's an interpretation.
Oh, you think she missed her cue? Oh, if she did miss her cue, like a good superstar, she breezed right through it. But here's what a lot of people don't know about that whole thing is they only gave Ru a 20-hour notice. And it takes about 20 hours to make RuPaul. So they were really, it was crunch time. You know?
Like 10 hours Lady of Gaga that pulling
Lady
her face
Gaga
back.
People doesn't give you a lot of time. You know, they keep things so secret.
So Matthew was like woken up at 3 in the morning. He's like, wake up, you got to put RuPaul's face on.
Matthew was on super, super crunch time. And, you know, Ru knows every time she's going to do drag. So the outfits and the hair, it's already taken care of so in advance. And they were just lucky enough to find one gown. And Matthew told me they had no idea where this gown came from. They just found this blue marabou feathered Muppety gown, and it was just perfect, and it was history. And she wore her peanut butter wig, which is one of my favorite wigs. It moves a lot.
I heard rumors that in the peanut butter video that's a body double for RuPaul's butt.
No. I mean, she padded
no
a lot
way.
More for that. Everything on Ru is this. She's just flawless, and she would not pay a body double.
I swear to God, there's too much jiggly for a foam padded butt, though.
That it's all Matthew's genius work, Matthew Anderson. For the listeners who are unaware, the puppeteer behind RuPaul.
Follow him on Instagram.
Really amazing.
Well,
I was waiting for
the judges to read Milk for wearing a beard on the runway, and I was just like, how can you guys say this when a bearded queen is the reason you all look so beautiful?
It's kind of weird. Tell us your take on season 6. Who are you rooting
season
for?
Season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Let's get sickening.
I'm just so happy that it's fucking back on. I've never felt like I had to wait that long for a drag race before. And I may be a current contestant. I might be a past contestant and a past winner. But it's still my favorite show. And even though I went through the process and I know how it's edited and I know how long the day is, the second a new season comes on, all of that goes out the window and I just watch it as a fan and read these bitches the house down.
It's extremely good this season. I mean, last night's show was with the whole musical challenge. I thought the musical itself
was really good. Do you think they were lip-syncing?
No, right? They were singing live.
If they were lip syncing, they were lip syncing really well, but they must have just had the best mics and the greatest reverb because they all sounded pretty good. And I cannot believe that Trinity was put in the bottom two, because even though she complained and said she had no background, I thought she turned it out.
Well, they said she had a mush mouth, that she wasn't enunciating, and they couldn't really understand
her. Well, what's great about her is she's bringing something to drag fans and drag audiences that they may have never seen before, and that is called a flipper queen. You hear that, Jiggly? A flipper queen. a queen who wears a false set of teeth during drag to polish the
Well, you
of the
love
character.
Flippers so much, you actually got yours permanently installed.
Right, yeah. And I've been getting read a lot for it. I've never been getting so much hate mail that I have lately. People just asking me what I've done to my face, and that I've destroyed my face, and they miss my old lips, they miss my old smile. I'm like, yes, who doesn't miss gappy candy corn teeth with thin, brittle witch lips? I know I miss that, too.
Well, so you're happy and very satisfied with the plastic surgery you've had done on yourself.
Well, you can't even really call it plastic surgery. It's all injectables.
With
I like
work.
People. You know what I think people are identifying with most is that the way I beat my mug is just a lot different. You know, drag makeup has changed so much in the last few years. Most of it because of Drag Race. You know, like with drag having such high exposure, it's changing a lot quicker and.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just keeping up. I'm just putting that exclamation point on my nose like we're all doing now, just so we can show people how excited we are.
Contour that bitch. Well, I think I have to say, you know, looking at season six now, you know, after season three, I gotta be honest with you, Fausto and I were very tired of Drag Race, and we're like, I was good, but it was just like, I wasn't excited. And then you came along and you kind of flipped the script, because we're like, oh my god, you don't have to be a pretty queen to actually make it on RuPaul's Drag Race. You added it, so it makes excitement.
Do you just realize the backhanded mm-hmm. compliment you just gave me?
But you know what I'm saying. You don't, like, it was a pageant kind of girl look is what they were looking for. And it didn't really seem as like behind them there was a whole lot of talent, really. And then somebody
they have talent. They just don't rattle the system. And
yeah.
I think we were in a cultural world in 2012 where I think pop culture was just getting a little more over the top and shocking. And I just kind of, you know... good timing for me.
You rode that wave.
See, I gotta say, this is the thing. This is why it was so exciting to have you. And you may, I don't know if you're even aware of it, because you're, you know, in it.
Yeah. And you're kind of high.
We're from, and you're high all the time.
But it's, I'm high right now.
I know.
From our perspective, we were like done with the show. It was predictable. It was very awkward. Very talented, but very awkward, beautiful queens.
Guarded,
stale, playing with the system. And then here comes this gritty, punk, hilarious, spooky queen from Pittsburgh and takes the whole system, the whole charade of the show, and starts smacking it around.
It's like, and this is drag,
of,
bitch.
And
this
instead
is drag.
Of reacting to this, like, you know, sorry, Sharon Needles, your time has come for you to go. You were too scary for us. We wanted to be thrilled, but not scared. That never happened. Instead, America fell in love with you.
Well,
and
everyone
they,
said,
and they fell
know,
in love
just,
with this like,
a,
concept of Halloween
queen,
that you brought.
But yeah. I think the reason Rue liked me is because I always did what she asked for in the challenges, you know. Sharon as a character on the show wasn't always scary. She needed me to act like a president, I'd act like a president, or a wrestler, or a pregnant woman, or...
But you were like, then when the show started airing, it's like you said, you were taking like the Beatles, we're more famous than Jesus, and you said, I'm more famous than RuPaul. And it was like all these kind of things that were like meant to just kind of say, like, I'm not going to play by your rules. I'm going to forge my own path.
Well, I didn't know how to do it any other way. I'm a good actor, but I'm not that good. And
that's why it was so exciting to live in Sharon Needles era.
To like creating a fake character, but you can only fake something for so long. You're filmed up to 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for, you know, almost 2 months. The real you ends up coming out, because you can't hide it for that long. You'll drive yourself nuts.
Okay, so...
And then there was season five, which, you know, has an interesting story, and I think it was kind of exciting, and it was interesting.
Well, my favorite contestant of all time came from season five.
And who's that?
Alyssa Edwards.
And why is she your favorite?
because she's funny, and she's just really funny, and she doesn't know why she's funny, and that's a star to me.
That's,
you know,
the thing that I've heard about. Yeah,
she doesn't try that. You know, she's not struggling to try to be that entertaining. She just naturally is, and any minute I'm with her are good times. I love me some Alyssa Edwards. She's so funny. She just says the fucking weirdest shit you've ever heard.
I can imagine. And it was exciting to see Alaska on the show, your former partner, just because you know, it was
you know. And I was just like, all I could think of is there's no way that two people can lie and say that we're ridiculously stunning and talented, and she did it.
But then I have to say, it's like, and so, you know, that season's behind us, and now we're here on season 6, and I'm looking at these girls' makeup, and I'm looking at their outfits, and I'm looking at the talent, and I'm just really, I mean, I'm blown away. It really is, it just kind of feels like it's one-upped every season.
It's true. And I think that's what the show's so successful, and I think that's why it's still on the air. I think the second the tail begins to wag the dog is maybe when Rue will call it quits. But do you have any personal favorites from season 6, boys?
It's impossible to watch the show without Bianca Del Rio, and if she, God forbid, she ever gets eliminated, the show will be over for me. You know?
See, I know Bianca Del Rio personally, so it's, you know, when you know a queen personally, and you know, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, I went through that system. There's no way she's going to be able to handle it. And just to watch her, I mean, she's just blowing me away. And the thing I like about Bianca Del Rio is, in the past, there's been some bitches on Drag Race, and they're usually bitching to hide some insecurity. She's just bitching because these young girls are just annoying the snot out of her, and it's the first time a bitch has been right. And I like that about a drag queen, because RuPaul's Drag Race tries to make it more into role models and supermodels, but a big part about being a drag queen is being a witty, foul-mouthed witch, and that's what Bianca Del Rio is, and I love it.
It's seeking the truth by calling out the way things are, and revealing the bullshit.
And you can look right at her and know that her craft is so perfected. Her makeup may be, you know, harsh, but it's perfect and it's branded. And she's just, I just love her more than I already did.
I can already see what Michelle and RuPaul are going to say, which is like, you need to see show a vulnerable side to you. And we've seen that clip. It's like, I'll show some vulnerability when you wear a turtleneck and Santino wins a sewing competition.
Right. Going for the judges. That always works out well.
But I still think it's, you know, it's basically Courtney Act, Bianca Del Rio in the top three. And this is just an opinion, people. This is not a spoiler alert. I don't work for the show. Sharon doesn't work for them. And Laganja Estranja, because she's so
annoying. But I don't know how it works out, because
you don't know.
I don't know, and I'll tell you this, all the other Rue girls do know, because they just can't sit back and watch the fun. They immediately have to see who's coming for their booking fee. But, you know, this is the first season, and this is the first season since season 3 that I'm really unaware of what's going on. So it's just a pleasure to sit back and have that cringing moment when two girls are in the bottom two. Because I love that feeling. This is my fucking, these are the playoffs for me, you know, and the final episode is the Super Bowl. So.
What's your guess for the top three?
Oh, I don't speculate. I already won, so I don't care. But I'm not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know who surprisingly has become one of my favorites is Gia Gunn. Now, she's a Chicago girl. I've never met her. I think she's kind of new to the drag scene here in Chicago. Maybe a couple years. Other people know it, and they're like, "Well, she doesn't know her words. She can move around and stuff like that." But I just think that she's just so kind of.
See, I don't think she's ignorant. I think she just has a personal taste, and I like that she says it. I like when she says she doesn't like cheap queens. She doesn't like messy queens, and she don't like manly queens. I just like her honesty. I like what she thinks drag queens should be, beautiful prostitutes.
Thank you for being fishy to the fish, mama.
Absolutely.
I don't think she's necessarily fish. I think she's a fishy queen, but in no way does a real girl look like that.
You know, she brings that, coming from Chicago, and we're like, you know, a hop skipping away from the Vietnamese community here in town.
And I've never seen a good Vietnamese queen.
I don't know if she's Vietnamese. I think she's actually Japanese by heritage. But, you know, in Chicago, there's a really strong Vietnamese banquet hall scene. They're bringing these pop stars and do these really elaborate shows, and she really channels that. People who live in Chicago, they're like, they'll totally recognize that in Gia Gunn. Now, I think LaGanja Estranja is so annoying and so irritating that she has to be in the top three, because they're otherwise, or Gia Gunn. It's the either one.
Is she
going
to be the Fifi O'Hara and the Roxy of this?
Because they're
season.
Already just like, they're just like one. That whole crime scene.
She's an odd queen. She's odd, you know?
Yeah.
She has a very... I'm trying not to say anything mean about the queens until after the season's over, you know?
Why?
But, yeah, she's odd. And you say she's annoying. I've been hearing that online. It's I think it's the sounds. I think she's sometimes in a space where she doesn't know what to say, so she just says an old-school drag phrase in a really loud, nasally, annoying voice. Okay!
Well, you know, I saw her performance, and her dance kind of reminded me of Josephine Baker's banana dance. It kind of channeled that kind of that feel.
Yeah,
because I think when she you know, she's a queen that when she lip syncs and when she performs, you're getting like a dance number.
Now, what do you think of Milk?
You know, Milk, I used to know a girl like Milk. She's dead now. really,
have you noticed Rue pronounces it Malk?
Malk.
Because she black, girl.
Milk is it definitely, you know, Carmen Carrera relies too much on her body, Milk relies too much on his costume. And by that I mean... Take all this
on the gimmick.
Yeah, it's gimmicky, and to me, it's
the Pinocchio
like
Pinocchio nose, the pregnant belly. The
Milk is a performer. Milk is an professional ice skater. He understands that you need to, in order to win those medals, you need to skate on the ice. And so, I'm curious to see where Milk goes.
Oh, I didn't know Milk
season.
Was a professional ice skater.
Yeah, by training, he's an athlete. And so, and part of it is that when you're actually like have some muscle in your body, mm-hmm. it's really hard to. Create this feminine silhouette.
But the girls, Adora and Bianca, were here in the studio, and they said Milk has no ass. So I don't see how he could be a skater and have no ass. Have you seen his ass?
I've seen photos of him ice skating, and he had an ass in those photos. So maybe he just hasn't
been
training recently.
So let me guess. You're two of the boys that think Milk is hot.
I don't actually think Milk is as hot as Courtney Act says. Courtney Act said came on the show, and she said, I'll have sex with him. I'd be happy to have sex with him. What I like about Courtney Act is that she's...
Also, I've known Courtney for 2.5 years. She's also a straight-up motherfucking dick pig.
And that's why I think
we got that.
We got that.
She does a whole show about being a dick pig.
Yeah, the men in
like
my,
me,
like me, boys mm-hmm. like me,
boys
is the
like
name.
Me.
At the Laurie Beachman Theater, March 28th through the 30th. And I think actually, like, it's really between Bianca and Courtney's game right now, between the two.
Well,
I've always called
certainly
it.
Very talented, and I think Courtney in last night's episode, she just read.
Shined.
Adele Manzel. What's her name? What's the one that the gay actor
Adele
messed
Dazeem.
Up her name?
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah, she seemed very that big cheesy Broadway smile, eyes up to the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about Ben de la Creme, our Chicago girl, who moved to Seattle and became best friends with Jinx Monsoon.
Yes.
I love Ben, and I don't know if, and I think the internet's fallen in love with Ben, but a lot of people don't realize that Ben is a phenomenal lip sync artist. And he creates these elaborate performances that just pull out props and mm-hmm. and edit cuts and just a really quick change.
Well, and there's no queen, I think out of all the queens in RuPaul's Drag Race, she's the most like business savvy end of the theater world. Like she doesn't negotiate. She thinks, she creates, she does. She is Ben de la Creme. I'll tell you why I love her and why I identify with her is the character never drops and sounds different and has a different dichotomy and a different id and a different psychological profile from who he is to the boy. And I really identify with that. You know, Sharon mm-hmm. has such a high falsetto. She talks like Rhonda Shear. She acts like Elvira. She acts like Gigi Allen. She has her own entity, and that's what I like about Ben de la Creme is you know, she can take off that character and no one would know it was her.
Now, Foster, you've known Ben for years. Has he always looked like Michelle Visage?
Yes, actually. It was a situation where, you know, when I first met Michelle Visage, mm-hmm. I was like, haven't I seen your mm-hmm. face somewhere before?
Now, he used to be thinner. Did he gain more weight to kind of look more
like
Michelle?
Ben has always looked the way Ben looks. It's like he's a little bit, I know you're making a joke here, but seriously speaking, Ben has always kind of had that handsome, sexy, cherubic quality as a man. And in drag, I'm like, girl, are you taking estrogen or something? Because it's like, there's curves.
Well, it's like Varla.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just like Varla, you know, Jean Merman.
In drag, she looks round and voluptuous, but then it completely disappears when the illusion's taken off.
That's
the power of drag.
Who's going to be the Miss Congeniality, the most likable? I think it's going to be a tie between...
Laganja. She's so likable.
No, I think it's definitely Ben de la Creme versus Magnolia Crawford.
No.
Darian Lake. Sorry. Whoops.
Yeah, it could, even though we had only a short time with April Carrion, it could go to her. I thought she was so sweet. It was really sad to see her go.
Yeah, it just, you know, she didn't connect with audiences.
She was the only Puerto Rican queen, because that show is that's the hot spot of drag is Puerto Rico.
Yeah, actually, this is like devastating statistics, but only like... A third of a million people, 350,000 people watch RuPaul's Drag Race, compared to Duck Dynasty, which is 1.5 million. So it's like, it's still a niche show, but in Puerto Rico, it's one of like the top rated reality television shows nationwide and statewide.
Well, that's the power of RuPaul's Drag Race. It might not pull the biggest numbers, but the fans are... devoted and have turned it into a cult show more than any other show. RuPaul's Drag Race wins number one on Best Reality TV Show for TV.com. We won number one Best Reality Show for PerezHilton.com. All sorts of sites, because it might not have the most fans, but it has the most devoted fans. I know I never miss an episode.
It's a good storyline.
I cater my tours around RuPaul's Drag Race. I will not perform on Monday.
Who else do you... what about Dora Delano?
She's cute. She's cute. She doesn't seem to trust herself very much, though. I think she thinks she's underprepared. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is fake it till you make it, girl, and never mm-hmm. look into a camera and say, you're underprepared or you only brought four gowns. Because when I went, it was all shit. Everything that walked down that runway was shit. Thrift store, shit. I don't think I had one rhinestone on that entire season.
Do her Romulan eyebrows bother you?
No, I think they're very... They remind me of Kurt Cobain's daughter, Frances Bean, who has beautiful, thicker, kind of Bride of Frankenstein model eyebrows. Her face is... I don't think she has a strong technical makeup ability, but I don't think she needs it. She's pretty.
Because she's young and fresh.
She's young and round and... Like, her face still has collagen. Cigarettes haven't come and got her yet.
What about Vivacious, best known for Mother Has
Mother
Left
has
the Building?
Lies. Lies. Liza Minnelli.
Lies. Mother
She's
Has
great.
Left
and,
the Building.
And RuPaul recently came out with a new album called Cover Girls, where girls from season 6 got the opportunity to cover one of RuPaul's songs. And Vivacious's is my favorite.
What song does she do?
Oh, I don't remember. But in the other songs, you basically had to just sing RuPaul's lyrics, but the whoever was directing it allowed her just to say Liza Minnelli throughout the whole song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's great. A very old ball scene, you know, just Liza Minnelli. No, I loved her. I loved that she... that she brought some would call her historical side of drag. Some mm-hmm. people would call it a tired side of drag, but educated the children on what the club kids of the 90s wore to the clubs. It wasn't really about being fishy. It was about grabbing and demanding attention. Well, you but that makeup, though, ooh.
It, it needed a little work. Were you surprised that Kelly Mantle was first to go? Because she's had, like, you know, a career, a long career.
The thing with being the first to go is it's got to be someone. It's never fair. I always wish that, you know, RuPaul would save the You Both Are Safe for the first episode just so we get just one more chance to, you know, take a peek at your Barbie doll. But
now, do you feel the same about Magnolia Crawford?
Magnolia Crawford is, she definitely is, I'm sure, got the attention that she asked for. I don't know if it was positive attention. But, you know, if anyone doesn't have a filter, it's a drag queen, and she had no filter. Because any girl who goes on Drag Race, of course, are doing it for the exposure and the betterment of our careers. But when I was there, I was just so immediately humbled and excited to be working on my favorite show with my idol, RuPaul, that, you know, that kind of thought process kind of goes out the window when you get there. You know, you're really more just trying to focus on day to day and getting through the struggles of what it's like to make television and, you know, trying to get through those challenges. And just to hear the way she sounded, so unappreciative. And I think a lot of the younger contestants this year just seem not humbled and appreciative of this huge opportunity that's in front of them, but they're so young. These kids are growing up. They're starting their careers, and, you know, went through puberty when RuPaul's Drag Race was already on the air. Mm.
Did you ever have nightmares or dreams of being on RuPaul's Drag Race?
All the time. I would say 20% of my dreams take place in that studio or involving RuPaul.
Are you, like, naked on the runway, or is she, like, telling you to sashay away, or what?
No, usually the reoccurring dream is that it's my first day on drag, or I go back to Drag Race for, like, an All-Stars or something, and I open up my suitcases and realize that all I brought was dirty boy clothes, like gym clothes. Like, I grabbed the wrong bags.
So it's being naked on RuPaul's Drag Race. That's kind of like my feeling about the whole experience. Because I think part of the joy and adventure in it is imagining yourself being in that situation. And of course, it brings up all this anxiety of not being ready.
Yeah.
Like when I was working as a drag queen, my number one anxiety was anxious dream was like imagining me not being ready to go on stage, and they're like 5 minutes, and I'm like, but I haven't put on my foundation, I haven't put on my eye makeup.
That's a really common dream for me too. Like I'll have one eyebrow on, and they'll be like 15 minutes. Sharon.
You know, if you can do this, is like I used to have a dream when I was waiting tables, and it's like, you know, I'd have all these customers, they're demanding, I'm running around, I can't get everything done, and I was just like, but then I would kind of be like semi awake, and I'd be like, I really just need to sleep, I need to get over this. I'm gonna bring a gun into my dream, and I'm gonna shoot all these annoying customers, and then you know what? You just go and you go bang, 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 and you blow them all away in your dream, and then you sleep like a baby.
That's a terrible advice.
I haven't been able to control my dreams since I was a child, but when I was a child, I could control my dreams. But there was only one thing I would do, and that's take off the popular kids in school's pants or turn inanimate objects into Reese's peanut butter cups. Those are the only two things I could control in my dream.
You can get it back. You can get it back.
You just have to meditate.
Yes, on Monday's episode, this one recently, they did a little skit or a little contest whether somebody was female or she-male. And of course, Glad is very upset that they're using the word she-male to describe a man that dresses as a woman because they feel as though it's a derogatory term that stemmed from pornography.
It's disrespectful and insulting.
I don't have any opinion on that shit. You know, words are very unnecessary. Nowadays, they only do harm. Do you, 1990,
obviously, the people from RuPaul's Drag Race know that it is a controversial term, and they decided to use it anyway, I'm guessing, for maybe a little publicity.
Right. Well, Ru doesn't shy away from the word tranny. So, you know, she has her great song, Response to Tranity, Tranny Chaser, and... I mean, those are words considered.
And the N-word that she had on one album that she talked about on this podcast. You know, RuPaul is very comfortable in taking controversial things head on.
Yes, and also, no. I mean, me and Ru have had extensive conversations about you know, navigating through this industry. And you would think the drag queen would be allowed to be a little more transgressive, start a little more dialogue, be a little out there. But really it's not, because what we forget is, oh, wait, we're a drag queen. That's already almost too much for the world. So if you package it up real pretty and make it nice and smiley with a whole bunch of quotes about love and acceptance, it gets a little more work than, than, you know, the transgressive punk, say what you want, drag queens, the way we expect them to be.
You described recently in an interview that your character, your creation of Sharon Needles, is a supervillain growing in your closet.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Wow. Still in an interview.
I mean, do you think that in some ways that, you know, have you feel like you've done any harm or change into who Sharon Needles is or was? Or do you see what
I don't
asking?
Think Sharon has done any harm. In fact, I think Sharon has probably done a lot of good for a lot of kids. What I have realized is that I'm not her. Being her 5 nights a week and being forced to be on, and that character to be on so much, makes me realize how much I'm not her, and how much I really enjoy not being her.
What's the difference between you and Aaron and Sharon Needles?
Sharon demands attention. She's loud. She's stupid. She's offensive. She's an ego fucking maniac, especially lately too. I'm not. I'm out of drag. I just want to be a housewife. I just want to cook and Swiffer and take care of animals and husbands and scrub toilets and make dinner.
How do we know that we're talking to Sharon Needles or Aaron?
it's all in the corset now. It's all in the corset.
I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of drag queens and they're like, her career is dead. Sharon Needles is dead and her career is over, and she's torpedoed it, and she's done too many controversial things. She pissed off her fans on the boat cruise. She locked herself in a room, got high on drugs, and ignored everybody for a week except Annecy.
Well, I was going through a public breakup, a huge change in my career, a whole change in my personal life, and yeah, I did. I did lock myself in that room. I felt bad afterwards.
Well, I mean, in a sense, well, like you another, had a
and
deal
another thing
with that,
is I was just going through a really rough time, and my fans tend to gravitate, they love to express the terrible things that happened in their life, and I just wasn't a very good therapist that week. So,
do you find yourself being a therapist for your fans?
I definitely think a lot of kids identify with maybe my youth struggles, and yeah, I mean, I would say 90% of my fan mail is, you know, kids dealing with, you know, at home or school issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
can't you just tell them, like, if you ain't gonna love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love somebody else, and then call it a day?
Well, what did we say at a show the other night? Oh, we said if you can't kill yourself, how the hell are you gonna kill somebody else? Can I get a hell statement?
Just send it to Lady Gaga's bait bus. Go take a ride on the
What'd you think
bus.
About the whole thing with Lady Gaga's foundation raising $2.5 million? Was it and only spending $5,000 on actual grants, and then the mother who runs the foundation said, well, we weren't supposed to do grants in the first place, that the bus and the website was the point of the whole thing.
Like an awful lot of money.
I don't know. I don't know how charities work.
Plans to make a Sharon Needles Foundation?
Or the bait bus?
No. I don't know how to be. I don't know how to be a role model. I just know how to be a supermodel.
Sharon, what's your relationship with Alaska now?
Oh, we're great. We definitely took a step back and decided. You know, sometimes when couples break up and they stay very, involved with each other, then they kind of go back and forth, want to bring up old fights. So we're like, you know what? Let's have a chill down period. Let's stay out of each other's hair for a while, and but we tour with each other all the time because I'm in the cast of Battle of the Seasons, you know, which is a lot of the Rue Barbie Dolls tour, which is great because we're doing it in huge venues. But she's there with me all the time.
So you guys hang out, smoke pot together?
Well, she got clean.
Is she still clean?
Yeah, she got clean. She was not messing around. And now I just, you know, not only is she a friend, but I think she's very strong. I give her much more credit. I think she's very strong because, I know, getting clean is not an easy thing. And she just cold turkey zooped out of my life.
Mm. Annecy, your drag daughter, who's like, what is, she's like an 16-year-old girl. Who's
a 16-year-old girl. She's very eccentric. She's a very odd and highly entertaining. I usually do not communicate with super fans, only because I know I will disappoint what they see in me. Is, you know, most of the time what they're attracted to is something that isn't real, and I don't like to disappoint fans. This one, you know, I'm going to say she was a super fan. You know, she contact me a lot. So one day I met her on the cruise, and we just clicked. It's odd to say that she's not just a fan, but she's a friend. And you know, I talked to her parents, and she's great fun to FaceTime with at 3:30 in the morning when you're drunk.
Shouldn't she be asleep? She's 16.
Yeah, I know, and I wake her up before she has to go to school. She always takes the call.
Okay. She says, Sharon, I just stuck a pushpin in my foot. What do I do?
Take it out and go to bed, Annecy.
That's basically that's advice I tell her
every night. Go to bed. When I see her online all hours of the night on a school night, I tell her, go to bed.
They're saying that a lot of the social media and tablets and stuff for kids is really bad because it accentuates their attention deficit disorders.
Well, and it's, you know, they're going to end up being known as generation-like, where everything is based on what attention you can get, what you say you approve of, and what you don't approve of. Noticing that in this world, to get attention, to say something negative will work better than saying something positive, and I think that's dangerous.
I'm really like loving the little videos that she makes and commenting on the TV show. It's so fucking hysterically funny.
She's part of a group called the Princesses of Drag Race, and they're a group of teen girls all over the world who share information and create content talking about the show. And I believe they won a Wowie. Is what it's called. At a World of Wonder award show.
Laura asks, how was it meeting Amanda Lepore for the first time? What about her inspires you so much?
The first time I met Amanda Lepore, she was here in Pittsburgh, and she was brought in for a club date. Oh, I was just so nervous. I changed 3 or 4 times, and I knew that she was in her dressing room, and I'd been in the club before. I knew where the private dressing room was. Well, I snuck behind security, somehow snuck behind the velvet rope guy. I think I told him I had to bring something to Amanda that she had forgotten. And then her dressing room was covered with red velvet drapes, and I could hear her talking behind there. And I was like, oh! And I was getting the sweats. I was getting dizzy. And then someone through the crack saw me, Eric Shiner, the director of the art director of the Andy Warhol Museum, and he's very familiar with the drag scene here in Pittsburgh. And he heard me, and he goes, Sharon, would you like to join us? And then I just see a hand come out between the two maroon velvet drapes, and it's this beautiful pale hand with red stiletto nails, and it just was giving me this come hither wiggle, and oh, I could have just died. And when she went on stage, she goes, will you help me to stage? I don't want to fall down. I was like, of course I will. And I noticed she had left her yellow marabou feather jacket in the dressing room, and I almost stole it.
Christina,
but I just couldn't. And so then, and then I would go to New York and the New York club scene, and go to the clubs, and I would see her, and I couldn't go within 20 feet of her. It was probably took me 15 times meeting her that I didn't feel just so overwhelmingly starstruck and like in a dream.
Because it is kind of weird. I mean, because you're a drag superstar. You were at one point in time America's Next Drag Superstar. What happens after that? I mean, does it
What title do
are
you have?
Are you former Next America's? What is it? I don't know what happened. But then you get excited. Like,
what am I? I'm a number three on the iTunes pop charting recording artist.
Well, awesome. But like, when you meet stars, you really are genuinely starstruck. When we had Justin Jedlicka here in the apartment, Mr. Plastic Surgery Ken Doll, it was like you were like nervous about meeting him.
Verklempt.
I am starstruck by the oddest of stars. I just met CeeLo Green the other day. Wasn't that starstruck. Met Carrot Top in Vegas once. Was so starstruck.
Did he offer you money for sex?
No, but I was dressed as Peggy Bundy, so I thought we kind of looked like twins.
Christina Taylor says, what's your favorite part about doing drag?
Now taking it off. You know what my favorite part about drag is? Getting ready. Mm-hmm. You'd think after beating your mug after a decade, five times a week would get old. It does. I still so enjoy the 3-hour slow process of getting ready. First, I go to the TV and I put on my seat. Most drag queens get ready to music. I get ready to CNN. And I listen to the daily topics. I slowly shave and moisturize my entire body, slowly apply my makeup and get through about a half a case of PBR in the process. Then the rest of the night.
I thought
is really
you gave up on drinking PBR because it made you fat, and you're doing Amstel Light now.
Well, I do drink Amstel Light, but my rider still demands PBR because I like the image of it with me.
So you're watching
like
CNN.
It makes me look like the people's drag queen.
So you're watching CNN. Where is Flight 370? Where'd it go?
Oh. I have no idea, but Courtney Love believes she has found it.
It was not wonderful. She tweeted. She was just like looking at satellite images that everybody else was, and she's like, "I don't know, but this looks like the flight to me." And everyone's like, "Courtney Act solved it." I mean, Courtney Love solved it.
Yes, I see. She's a talented woman. You know, my music manager also music manages Courtney Love. So with my tour manager David, sometimes I'm way too much of a handful for him. I party too much, or I get angry, or I get frustrated with, you know, the stage show not being properly set up to the way I want it to be. And my music manager, Lucia, always says, oh, girl, you're a cakewalk.
Well, you're not no Courtney Love.
I am no Courtney Love. I might smoke in my hotels, but I don't put them out in the carpet. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between me and her.
What if Courtney Love is actually right about the flight, the pink there. Like,
the photo she was looking at was like days before the actual thing happened.
No, people are saying that it might be actually. That there's a possibility.
I'm very interested in this missing flight, but I feel so bad for the CNN correspondents that just have to keep repeating themselves because, you know, once I believed it was Anna Nicole Smith's death that was the birth of 24-hour news coverage of things. And ever since then, channels like HLN, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News, it used to be you just told a story and we'll tell you more when we find out, move on. Now it's just all-day coverage of just specific stories, which I love. I love it. I can listen to you repeat the same thing over and over and over again.
I look forward to Detective Love solving more mysteries. I think that probably what's happened is that plane got lost and it went into the airspace of many countries that we're at war with or are not having a good relationship with, and they don't want to admit that an airplane got lost in the airspace without them knowing about it. So a lot of these countries like China and Afghanistan, they're just like, we don't know anything about it. And that's where it's right. going to stay. And probably if that plane
crashed...
You can't
hide it forever.
Well, that plane crashed and everybody's dead. They're just going to leave it alone.
I think Bermuda Triangle would be a pretty drag name.
Oh, here's a great study for you, Sharon. I don't know if you drink tequila a lot, but I know you love your alcohol. Researchers from Mexico discovered that natural sugars from the agave plant called agavins greatly protected a group of mice against obesity and diabetes, and now are looking to turn the sugars into a form of sweetener that doesn't injure or harm the body in any way, because the sweeteners are rich in fiber.
But does it get you drunk?
It does catch you. Well, I mean, basically they're saying that that tequila is a health food. Of course, well, the study was done by the Jose Cuervo company, so.
Well, you know, people say, Sharon, for as rough as you treat your body, how do you look so young? And I say, well, you know, alcohol pickles things.
Did you hear Fred Phelps is about to drop dead?
I heard he was sick, the poor thing. You know, my heart and prayers go out to the entire inbred hate speech filled family of 88.
Well, there's also revelations, and they've not been confirmed by the organization itself, and part of it is because the Westboro Baptist Church is very secretive, but in September, they might have had a coup where they got rid of Phelps, Shirley Phelps, and the whole Phelps clan in charge, and in trying to move the church away from being hate mongers.
Hmm.
But the church is... they're all felt. They're all related.
They're mostly family. Yes.
So and I'm not sure what
a couple of years
there,
ago, right? I wrote them a letter saying I was interested in joining their church. And like I had friends of mine who were writers to pre-fruit it to make it seem like it was as genuine as possible. And I got a response, and they said, "If you weren't already in this, if you weren't already in this church, then you're not going to be in it." Mm-hmm. So I think they like keeping it nice and family and brainwashy and inbred. And
I really question their motives, though, because I think to themselves, it's like, you know, they've really put a face to religious bigotry here in America and like have proudly done
well,
so.
Well, that's why I think they're incredible transgressive street artists. When we live in a country that allows people like that to exist, I think it creates a great counterculture of sometimes I wonder if they're like gay created, you know, to try and
well, we
to try and get gay people, you know, to realize that, you know, religion is suppressive and you know that we do not have full government rights. Mm-hmm. To show that they're suppressed. Sometimes I think Ann Coulter is created by Democrats just to be like a satirical clown of how ridiculous Republicans can be.
Because the weird thing is like Fred Phelps founded his church because the church that he belonged to before didn't accept black people. And so he became like a civil rights kind of person. And then that's where his church came from. And then this whole gay thing came along and he hopped right on that. And we actually talked to Shirley Phelps.
Well, maybe he likes black dick, you know, kind of like Jim Jones. He had his own cult that, that was a very open-armed and accepting to black families, and mostly it was because he loved the, you know, the
way
BBC.
They died.
And then they drank the Kool-Aid.
Black people love Kool-Aid.
Yeah, right. I don't know. You know, we've spoken to Shirley Phelps on several occasions, and it seemed like she really is sincere in what she's doing. But there's a weird logic behind it, where she understands that despite whatever's happening, the actions of her family and her church are actually advancing gay rights and making the world a more acceptable, loving place for gay people. And she's fine with that.
And she actually endorsed marriage equality. She said, she's like, America's base, one of its primary tenets is equality. So gay people should be allowed to get married, even though I think it's a sin.
So in my opinion, I think they're very sincere in what they're doing. There's a lot of unique, twisted ways of looking at biblical scripture.
Where the problem lies is that they say fags are going to hell and that there's no redemption for them, but then also involve it with just hurting a lot of an intentional hurting of mm-hmm. people. And I think they know mm-hmm. that they're intentionally hurting people, and I don't think that's good.
Eric, two more questions here. Eric Torres, is more of a comment. It saddens me that people or drag queens need a field to bring you down to make themselves feel better. You will always have fans who adore you. You will continue to inspire a lifetime of freaks and ghouls. You've brought nothing but inspiration to my life, which is why when you signed my arm in Philly, I got it tattooed onto me. If you got it,
I remember that kid.
Haunt it. Eric Torres. Somebody got their
name. I remember that kid. I think it's crazy how many, what was his name, Eric?
Eric, yeah.
Eric, well, thank you for getting my name tattooed on your arm. That will not wash off when you decide you like milk more. I'm shocked by how many Sharon Needles tattoos are out there. There's like 60 or something. And those are just the ones I've seen. Some really good, some really bad, some really odd.
I mean, you really got some rock star quality, and you know, I've seen a lot of drag queens in our 10-year career in podcasting and 20-year career in doing broadcast journalism, and it's really remarkable just how the public reacted to you and how you came. I mean, you were at the right time in the right place, but definitely you brought something unique and special that really, you brought in the cuntiness, the charisma, unique nerve, and talent into something that was very stale at the moment.
Well, I never thought it was stale. I think even
it
a pageant queen, even a pageant queen, if you really look at what it is, it's still a man emulating a beautiful woman. That's pretty weird and cool.
But it was a situation that you brought this sense of humor and anarchy into something that seemed very ordered and very intensely serious upon itself. And fishy, yeah. And so that's what I really loved about and continue to love about you. Lindsay Patton, how often do you ride your broom at night when it's a full moon and cackle like Michelle Visage?
Well, apparently what someone put online is I no longer laugh like Michelle, now I laugh like RuPaul. But I will say this for the record, I stole my laugh from the Crypt Keeper. So,
RuPaul.
All right, boys.
Sure. Where are you going to be performing next?
I'm going to be hosting the Winters Electronic Music Awards, which is a huge award that applauds. Hold on, I'm looking it up right now to see if it's.
I was going to say the Winter Olympics in Sochi. I was like, girl, you're late.
You missed that. I wonder why.
Anyway, it's an electronic awards show that I'll be co-hosting. I don't think I'm nominated for anything, so maybe that's why I'm co-hosting. And I'm doing a small Florida tour, Tampa, and some other shows. And of course, the bot season starts back up, and I'll be doing. I'm a public speaker at Iowa's Safe School Conference, where I'll be talking about what should be expected of teachers and.
Going back to your roots, huh?
Yeah, for like GLBTQ students, and then talking to students about how to deal with like bullying issues and stuff like that. I'll be happy to be home.
What advice do you actually give to a high school student on dealing with bullying besides, like, love yourself, don't listen to what they say?
Get support.
Yeah, basically I just tell them that, you know, focus more on what you're creating outside of school, because I don't think bullying will ever stop, and there's no real advice you can give to a youngster. Every kid deals with it differently, you know? I didn't have the balls that I have now when I was in high school. I just pretend like I didn't hear it, or just I wouldn't, you know, respond just to keep myself from getting my ass beat or whatever. But all I can tell them is, you know, turn that hate into something great. Let it toughen you up for the real world, because the real world is still going to call you a faggot. You'll be in a position of adult authority to turn that into good, like art or drag.
Sharon Needles, you're still a remarkable drag queen. May you live forever,
I didn't bore you too much. I thought maybe I was too stoned for this interview.
No, I thought it was very in-depth and very chill. I like it.
Yeah.
I know that you died 500 years ago, but may you live forever.
Hey, I survived the Inquisition and I still look 17.
You sure do.
and I don't know if you are... If you boys are into the meggings craze yet, which are leggings for men, New York magazine.
They're made here in Chicago. They're headquarters here in Chicago.
They're completely acceptable. And if you boys like meggings with transgressive, offensive, drug-riddled, glamorous icons screen-printed them, go to jeffreymack.com or sharonneedles.com and check out my new fashion collaboration of gowns, leggings, T-shirts, and bodysuits.
Ooh, I'm going to do that right now. Where do I find that?
at SharonNeedles.com.
Jeffrey Mack, who you should, you know who Jeffrey Mack is. He's legendary 90s Chicago club kid turned New York higher end fashion designer. He's done all my major pieces, like my Pee Wee Herman gown and everything. He did all the pieces for my new video, Dress to Kill, which if you haven't seen, please check out my video, Dress to Kill, which is my new single off of PG-13, available on iTunes. I know that Cher has the same song called Dress to Kill, but mine came out 6 months before.
Anna C. wants to know, Sharon Needles, who? Go to bed, Anna C. God.
That's it. She's not getting a FaceTime for a week. She's grounded.
What will happen to Anna C?
I expect great things from her if she gets off the internet and goes to bed.
She's going to be a superstar.
Or either that or she's going to end up in women's prison.
She recently, at a school open mic talent show, did a piano ballad to I Wish I Was Amanda Lepore, one of my tracks.
Oh, my
God. And it was beautiful.
I'm tearing up just thinking about that.
Oh, yes. Hold on a second. It's my contacts.
It has made people cry. It has literally made people cry.
I bet. That's very sweet. I just love that like this little girl is just absolutely fascinated and adoring of a drag queen. There's hope for this young generation yet.
Well, at the same time, she has admirers all over the world. She's a fan. She's quite the cult figure.
Is this a little all about Eve? Is she going to try and steal your thunder? Is that what it is?
She can have it. I'm ready for a break.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of like the loving mother, drag mother, in that sense that if Anna C really wanted your career, you'd say, kill me and steal my power.
Yes. On my deathbed, I will give her the secret.
You will blow the spirit into her mouth, and she'll be like, I am now Sharon Needles.
I'll lay on my deathbed and say, Anna C, the only way to get famous is to cry for only 2 episodes and kiss RuPaul's ass.
Will Bianca, do you see Bianca Del Rio crying in this season? I have a hard time imagining it.
Well, the show breaks you down to the point where you are emotionally really unprepared. You can be as hard as nails, but with not sleeping, with having no contact with your friends or the outside world, the stress of the competition, it's boot camp. It breaks you down. So no one is safe. And if she knows how to play the game right, when that video pops up and her mom and her dad or her cousin or someone pops up on this, you better bring on the waterworks.
It's time to cry.
See, most queens, like Tammy Faye Baker, cried black tears, but I think she would cry white ones. I should have put all my prize money into white eyeliner stock, and I think it would have.
It works rising for her. You know, if you have smaller eyes, it makes them look bigger.
Well,
it doesn't matter what your look is, as long as you own it, then it's fierce. But I can always tell when a girl is conceptual or when she's sloppy.
Well, you know when that her eye makeup comes from is Elvira's.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the same eye makeup.
Mm. I thought it kind of had more of that Liza Minnelli kind of wide-eyed, doe-eyed lashes top and bottom look.
Bianca Del Rio is Liza Minnelli plus Elvira. Just open up images of their eyes, and you can totally see what I'm talking about.
Hey, that's something to be jealous of.
Liza
Minnelli. Sharon Needles. Yes, go ahead.
My new tag for myself lately has been, I'm Elvira with a dick.
I'm sure Elvira loves that. Because she's like, how do you know I don't have one?
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't have one anymore. She sniffed.
Oh, Sharon, it's always a joy.
Yes.
You too. I don't know if we've ever done a phony before, but I almost forgot we were being recorded. I thought we were just chit-chatting. Doing the fat.
Girl, you've been on the show a million times. On the phone. We talked about your breakup.
No.
No, I refused. You begged? You and James St. James begged for a post-breakup interview, but I declined.
I feel like we talked about it with you.
But I didn't really need the press.
Did we not talk about your breakup with you? This is the first time you've been since...
No, we talked with Alaska about it.
God, I feel like we talked about... Well, because we went and visited you and saw you, like, weeping in your living room like a little baby.
is said, weeping the new word for cocaine?
There was to be music in this house. Her name was Alaska. Oh, what times we had.
Well, I was only single for 23 hours. We broke up the day before Halloween in Toronto, and I found a new guy the next day. It sounds terrible, but it's timing, and no one can handle me, so if someone can handle me, I don't waste time.
Isn't Chad like a practicing Wiccan, and he actually heard rumors he cast a spell to cause you guys to break up?
No, Chad's not a Wiccan. He believes in ghosts, though.
If he brings you a cocktail and it's this crazy green embalming fluid smelling thing, don't drink it. Yeah, don't drink it.
Drink it.
He creates a lot of fluids I drink, but none of them are green.
Ooh.
Oh, but you wanna, here's something we can quickly talk about. I had my first UTI. I pissed and I came blood. At first I was like, oh no, this is scary. And then I thought, oh, that looked really cool.
Are you sure you just didn't drink like beets or something? Because sometimes, like when you drink beets, I eat beets.
No. This was my, you know, kind of stung when I peed for a while, and then I noticed like kind of like a mucusy something in my pee, and then I ejaculated blood, pure bright red blood.
Oh, did you take a picture of it?
No, and then I tried to recreate it again and film myself, you know, ejaculating. But it wasn't as bloody. It was kind of turned into like Campbell's condensed tomato soup. But
God!
So I went to the doctor and I found out, you know, because I'm in a monogamous loving relationship, and so we decided to ditch condoms. That microscopic pieces of feces find their way into your urethra, and cause a UTI. They're very rare in men, but very common for gay men.
So it's not like you had to call all your exes and say, hey, Matthew Anderson, I have an STD. You might want to, you know, get tested yourself.
You're crazy. No, I just had to take antibiotics.
Juice.
But usually when people get a diagnosis from their doctor, you know, they're not excited. But when he said it was a UTI, I had a smile from ear to ear. I was so happy.
Because you were like, it could have been something else.
Yeah, well, you know. I get a ingrown toenail, and I'm convinced I have AIDS.
Well, if you ever get a little burning sensation, the first thing you do is run out and get some cranberry juice, and sometimes that'll take care of it. And then get
a
test.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's, what is it, ketosterones or something? Go to the vitamin shop.
It said not to drink with your antibiotics, but I want to let your listeners know that that might be a lie because my issue cleared right up.
Yeah, please don't have alcoholic beverages with antibiotics, please.
Well, I did. Anyway,
well, it's not a good idea. You know, I don't know if that's...
It just made my kidneys hurt.
I don't know if that... You know what? I was home for a family event, and I said, I can't drink because I'm on antibiotics. My sister's like, let me see the package because my family all drink. You met my sisters. They drink. She's like, nowhere on here does it say you can't drink. Get a beer. I was just like, okay, I'll have a beer.
Do not use this podcast as medical
alcoholic
advice.
Beverages.
Oh, okay.
Sharon Needles is not a licensed practitioner of doctor or medicine or anything. And the entertainment presented on the show was for entertainment reasons and not medical reasons. That's your disclaimer. I totally fucked up the disclaimer. Hey, I want to remind the listeners that we're actually selling Hunty t-shirts and the show's brought to you.
I have one.
You have one. Post a picture so we can...
Put your hot boyfriend in it.
Yeah.
And better yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he is cute, isn't he?
He is cute.
Is that you kissing him in the Vine video?
Who are you?
Yeah, I regretted it in the morning.
That is him? Can I have him when you're done?
Hmm?
Can I have him when you're done?
Oh, when I trade him in for a newer model? Oh, yeah. He's all, I don't care where they go.
Although, I don't know. Maybe I want his clean out his butt, though, before you send him my way. I don't want to get any of those UTIs.
So we have a fabulous Hunty t-shirt.
From DUIs to UTIs.
And you can get them at feastoffun.com/store. And that
you can get UTIs at Feast of Fun.
And each shirt comes with a little bit of jizz from Sharon Needles.
Bloody jizz.
And you know, and I always say this, boys, you know, I pay my monthly fees because I'm so highly entertained by the content that you create, and I completely understand that the money goes to a good purpose because you guys are of limited resources but create such such honest and entertaining commentary on the GLBTQIA world. And I thank you, boys.
And, you know, I have to apologize to you, Sharon, because you love the fact that we run you unedited, but the first 15 minutes of today's show were a little bit edited because our hard drive kept failing. And so we had to run out and buy a new one, and that's part of the reason why. And we thank you so much for being patient with us and our humble FEMA trailer that we taped this podcast from.
So. Yeah, well, I'm currently getting ready to go on my way to go play gay bingo, which some listeners might be shocked to hear that when I have time off on my Tuesdays, I play bingo, and I'm very competitive.
Do you win?
Yeah, I win sometimes, but it's ran by a drag queen here in Pittsburgh named Marsha Monster Mellow. Very old school 90s queens. And the great thing about Marsha is if you really like the prize, you just have to say bingo. And she has such bad eyesight and has no attention span that she just doesn't check the cards. So every time a Justin Bieber doll comes up as the prize, I always, sometimes
I
lie.
Tuesdays in Pittsburgh.
Tuesdays in Pittsburgh at 5801, or as we call it, 58 No Fun.
Thank you so much,
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, guys, again, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sharon.
Unpleasant dreams. Bye. Sharon Needles lives in Pittsburgh, Transylvania,
the ketchup capital of the world.
And you can check her out and buy all her fabulous stuff at SharonNeedles.com if you want to get a Hunty t-shirt and make them eat it, because Hunty is not just a university, it's also a cooking school.
Cook your face,
make them eat it.
We'll throw back to season one
there, little
serve fish.
Serving fish, put some lemons on that platter, and whip out your tartar sauce all over their faces. That's feastoffun.com/store, honey. If you don't got the hunty, we can't get the munty to make Feast of Fun tea.
And we really do rely on your subscriptions to make this podcast happen. So if you're not a premium subscriber, if you haven't signed up for Plus yet, you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because not all of our shows are free. If you really want to get the good stuff, you gotta help us out.
If you want in-depth interviews with niche drag queens from reality TV shows such as RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked.
All-Stars.
And RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked. And RuPaul's Drag University. You can only get it on Feast of Fun and nowhere else. And these podcasts are available because someone like you made a donation.
Someone like you.
Somebody like you made a donation, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And if you like some of the shows and you're like complaining or, you know, unhappy that they're only for premium listeners, well, become a premium subscriber.
Yeah.
Get somebody. And if
you listen,
yeah,
some of these girls that hang out in Drag Race, they're out there turning tricks on the streets to buy these dresses to get on that show. Come on. $14 a month, that's like half a blowjob in an alley.
Yeah.
You don't even have to get them off. You just suck them for half and like play with their balls. There you go.
Yeah. Give them a little kiss on the cheek, too, to show them that you're a classy lady. I want to thank you guys so much from the bottom of our hearts for listening. Tomorrow, Johnny Scruff, the creator of your favorite hookup app, mm-hmm. is going to be on the show talking about his sex life. What do they see behind the scenes at the Scruff International offices? What kind of naughty business do they know about you behind when you're not looking or about your sex habits?
They measure everything.
Everything, honey, from all the 8 inches and above.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
It's just you and me, baby. We're trapped in two different worlds. Now I know you're no downtown boy, but I'm no uptown girl neither. We're trapped in two different realms, you see. You wanna talk to me? Well, then drop the phone and pick up the board. I'll be your Carolyn, I'll be your pentagram. Let's dabble in the black cards. This is not a game, let me spell my name. Let's keep the board and tell me what you'll do to me. I will spell a fantasy and cast a spell of ecstasy. A little touch of magic. Ow. In this world obsessed with science, I'll be your Carolyn, I'll be your pentagram. Let's dabble in the black arts. This is not a